At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It's the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander. Hope you're staying well during this pandemic. Hope you're staying indoors if you're supposed to, or break it out if your state allows you to. Whatever the case. I hope you're enjoying the content here on the pod. Today, real special episode, in my opinion. It's not often that you get to pick the brain of an odds maker offshore, and specifically at one of the big offshores. Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu was kind enough to sit with me for an hour. There were audio difficulties early, but we got them worked out. And Ray was super honest, answered a bunch of questions about a bunch of different things, pandemic specific and more macro, about how things are going over there at Bookmaker. Just some fabulous insights that you really won't get anywhere else, from table tennis to the stock market to what percentage of bettors actually win, on and on and on. A rare insight. Ray Marino from Bookmaker, exclusively on the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, the Sports Betting Network. Good morning to you. Gil Alexander, live from San Francisco. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, appreciate it. And we are efforting to have an exclusive this morning. This is a real pleasure. A rare glimpse from behind the desk of an offshore book, an offshore bookmaker, going to join us this morning from bookmaker.eu. His name is Ray Marino. So we look forward to having him on the show. I've got a bevy of questions for Ray on the way. Danny Burke is in studio in Las Vegas. Danny, are you there in studio with us?
Yes, sir. I am here. How you doing, Gil?
I'm doing very well, man. I have so much to ask Ray. It's ridiculous. Like I could do 3 hours with him. Sadly, we'll only get the balance of this hour. But just about the pandemic, were they at all worried when the pandemic hit? All these reports we've heard about the sports, or the sort of not even sports but simulations that have garnered so much handle, are those true? To what extent are they true? All these random things that they've been booking, like the stock market, which I bet on a daily basis. Over there, I'd love to find out the thinking behind all this. Things from during the football season, like the instant replay market, which I've talked about on this show so many times. And just from then backing off, just macro questions for him, the things that never get answered, such as who actually wins? Like, what's your percentage of actual winning bettors? And if you were truly taking truth serum, and got to say to someone coming into the betting game today in sports betting,
is sports betting dead, or are there really certain things you can beat? So all of those, can't wait to talk to him, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Gil, looks like we got him on the line now, so you should be good to fire away.
Well, there you go. How about that? Through the magic of technology. Ray, welcome into the show. Ray Marino, odds maker over at bookmaker.eu. First of all, Ray, thank you for joining us. It's a real pleasure, man. I appreciate you doing this. Are you used to doing media at all?
Not a ton. I've talked to a couple people, but as a whole, you know, I stay under the radar in general. But I've done it a few times.
You've done it a few times.
I've done it a few times, a couple times.
All right. I'm going to ask the folks back in the studio, are we hearing that audio okay? Or can we make out Ray's answers? Or is it a little too echoey? Because I want people to get the benefit of the answer. I'll have to repeat. Well, I'll see what I can decipher. Ray, let's start with the present day, and then we'll work our way back to bigger picture items. But the present day during the global pandemic, I guess the first question would be, and recognizing that this is, for those who are unfamiliar and who are just tuning into this show for, you know, might not be familiar with things that are done globally, you're a massive book. You're a massive operation. This is not some flimsy operation going on. But were you even at all worried when the pandemic hit and when sports started to cancel? Was there even something with you and your team that was like, this could get ugly? Like, we've really got to get creative here.
Oh, for sure. No, it was terrifying. It's just anytime you have any kind of change in general, it's a little scary. And this was just like I said, it's a pandemic. It was terrifying. Not knowing, it's still scary. We've found a way to survive for now, but we've had to get really creative. And now I'm terrified of the future still. You know, if we listen to Fauci, we'll never have any sport ever again. So it's kind of scary. I think we'll get past it, and I think within 3 to 4 months we'll start seeing some actual sports again. But until it happens, I'm going to be on pins and needles a little bit for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to sort of rely on Danny back in studio there. Danny, are you picking up on the audio there? Because I could barely make it out, and I don't want the answers to get lost on the audience.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to reset and we'll get that set back.
Yeah, let's
up,
do
Gil,
that.
So we can
Ray,
get Ray going.
Ray, apologies. We'll start that again at some point, because what he did say, by the way, just on that one, is they were terrified, mm-hmm. which, you know, a lot of people might be surprised by that, because you would think something like that, there's nothing that could bring down an operation like that. And not that I think they were on the cusp of being brought down. But the fact that they were worried, like, how long can this last for us? How long could this go on? And the challenge of keeping it sustained for as long as they have. We'll effort Ray again. Let's effort Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu again. Ray, do we have you? How do you sound this time? How you doing?
I'm here. Hopefully it's better.
Okay. I don't know if we sound better, but we'll give it one more go. Let me just, I'll ask again. You did have some trepidation as the pandemic hit. Have you been shocked? Well, first of all, how does that meeting go? Do you get together and say, all right, we got to ad lib here? And have you been shocked by the success of the Madden simulations, of other things that you've done?
Yeah. The traders all basically got together when it started and started trying to come up with ideas. What sells? What product can we possibly put out that people will be interested in? The stock market came up. The Madden simulations came up early, but we were a little hesitant because we were a little scared that people would think that they weren't on the up and up, that they weren't real. So we found a third party provider to do it, Primetime Action, and now we've developed a relationship with them, and it's gone well. There's still some there's some people out there that are skeptical, rightly so. But when you're dealing with video games, you know, it's scary. But I mean, I could just say that we would never do anything that wasn't completely on the up and up. And no, the
the interest for it is mind-blowing. We're not making anything near what we would be making if it was normal sports, but we're keeping the lights on. It's been a crazy experience because we're trying to come up with numbers for this stuff. So we're in back rooms running simulations on these games, trying to formulate at least some form of a reasonable number, and then put it up and then move the number on action like you would do any other sporting event. I would say we were really vulnerable the first month and a half or so. If somebody was ahead of the game and had some data built on this stuff, we had some pretty bad numbers up there. Now, they're getting a little tougher to beat. I'm sure we still have some openings, some holes to attack, but they're closing quickly because we're building data as we run more games and run more simulations in the background.
Yeah, it's interesting to me because even as you say that, right, even as you say we would only do things on the up and up, obviously, Ray, there's going to be people out there who are going to doubt, you know, the crowd that is always going to be anti-bookmaker, and they're going to doubt that, you know, what you're saying is honest. But, you know, I think it's a fascinating psychology thing for bettors, because there was, I know some folks who were betting your Sims, and they were having some success early, like you said, when there might have been an edge to be had. And then there was a day where I think there was a doubleheader of very strange finishes. I want to say it was on a Sunday, but don't hold me to that. It might have been a Saturday. I think it was a weekend day where there's a couple of really odd time management situations late in the game. And people will sort of chuckle because they're like, well, it's a simulation. But you make the point, which I think is a good one I've heard you make before, which is, listen, yeah, there's going to be some time management issues in real life football too. And I always sort of say with the NFL, we spend most of our NFL seasons complaining about coaching decisions. So in that respect, I guess, it's not that much different than real life football, is it?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm an analytics guy as a whole. And every Sunday during the regular season, I'm cursing this coach, I'm cursing that coach for not calling a timeout here, calling a timeout too fast, punting instead of going for it, whatever the case. Well, these Madden simulations truly take it to another level. I mean, the people who wrote this game, as much time as they spent on making graphics unbelievably super, they really dropped the ball in the logic of the game. And so when they do something, and there's even glitches in the game. They had the other day, a team kicked a field goal on second down with 18 seconds left to win the game. They were down by two. They lined up for a field goal with 18 seconds left. Nothing wrong with that. Well, the field goal gets blocked, and the kicking team recovers it. And instead of them giving the ball to the other team, since they actually kicked the ball, they called it third down. The team ran a play. Then they kicked the field goal, won the game, and the chat went absolutely berserk. Yeah. Boy. But it's just a glitch in the game, and there's been a couple of them. Another, you know, there's a couple different things the game does that's it's a video game. So, you know, we had to put in our rules that we're not responsible for any, you know, glitches in the game and whatnot. As long as the game plays out to its entirety, it's action. You know, I don't get involved in the chats because I don't want it to occupy me, but I watch the chats on the site, and there's people fighting for us, and there's people that say, hey, how does this happen? How does this team beat this team? And I mean,
Let me step in for a second because I got to get a commercial here. We'll come back. We'll continue this. I want to find out about the handle of Sims. We'll get beyond that to stock market, other things that you're booking during the pandemic. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
A numbers game at VSiN, exclusively brought to you by Manscaped.com. Gil Alexander live in San Francisco on the Sports Betting Network. Chris Andrews still to come on the show. Michael Lombardi as well. We have a rare exclusive look into the mind of an odds maker, bookmaker.eu, namely Ray Marino. So I want to reset because we had some audio issues there in the first segment. Ray, first of all, thanks again for doing this. We were talking about during the pandemic specifically right now, and I want to get into broader issues in a bit, but as far as the Sims versus esports versus, say, the stock market, to the extent that you're willing to share, what is sort of your daily, well, in terms of The Sims and Madden, what is your approximate handle on those games? Or if you want to just compare them to a regular sport, say the NHL, how does that compare? And then stock market, what are you doing that every day?
Well, I hope Joe doesn't get upset. Joe's the guy that runs our NHL normally, but we're actually writing more business than what our NHL would normally write. But in general, as a whole, I think we are writing approximately 15% of what we would normally write. So, I mean, we still have a long way to go, but like I said, we're keeping the lights on and just keeping the business functioning currently more than anything else. But I'm still amazed at the numbers compared to what I thought it would be. I thought we'd be almost wasting time, but we had to try something. The stock market writes, you know, on average. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said, you said 15% overall handle, what you're doing today versus on a normal time, a different year, non-pandemic, 15% overall.
Correct. That's an approximation, okay. But it's in that general area for sure.
Interesting. All right, stock market. I'm sorry, interrupted. Go ahead.
No, the stock market has written just a ton more than I ever dreamed it would write. It writes about the equivalent of the average of if I was doing two live MLB baseball games on a given day. It does about twice as much as one baseball game. What we're doing with the stock market, all we're dealing is what will the Dow Jones close on that day and what will the S&P 500 close. And I mean, we know as much about the stock market as we know about flying airplanes. We look at the number and we watch it move and we just move our price with the number. And so that influences our number. And then the bettors influence our number. If the bettors make a bet, we move it and assume they might know something. But we're just kind of chasing our tails with it. It's a real tedious trade because you have to be on the top of it literally the whole time. If you blink, the market could move 75, 80 points. And you're taking bets now that you don't want to take if you haven't gotten your number moved. But the interest has been mind-blowing. Like, I thought we were just taking a shot, you know.
Yeah, it's the only thing I bet consistently during the pandemic. I bet it every day. Now, Ray, you said something there. We're talking to Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu. Ray, you said that you know as much about that as you do about flying planes. Now, how much of that? Because even as I hear that, right, my inner detector of, you know, is he being serious with that?
Like, well, I understand trading. I don't understand the stock market. I mean, I've learned more about the stock market in the last 2 months than I've learned in my first 47 years. And I was just by watching things moving, talking to some different people and whatnot. But I've never played the stock market. I've never gambled on it. All my gambling has been on poker and sports my whole life. But there's so many concepts that are similar, obviously. But as far as my general knowledge of the stock market and what makes a stock market go, I mean, I've got general ideas, but no, I'm pretty clueless with it as a whole.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, again, I was joking with one of your cohorts yesterday. I was like, if you had an over-under on 24,600 in the Dow yesterday, that was quite a finish. Yeah, it ended up 24,597 and was way higher than that a mere minutes before the close. So some
I was rooting
closes,
for the over.
Were you rooting for the over? So, by the way, so was I.
I was rooting for the over.
I was rooting for the over too. And it was as far as stock markets go, that was about the baddest beat, the worst beat during this pandemic that there has been. We'll get into more. An exclusive look behind the scenes from an offshore bookmaker that is a very rare thing to get. Thrilled to have him here. I'm detecting an accent, too. We'll ask Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu about that. Broader concepts. Fascinating stuff coming up on A Numbers Game at BeastSports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, just like the man said, Gil Alexander right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Ray Marino, kind enough to join us again this hour from bookmaker.eu, odds maker over there. Last thing about the stock market, I apologize to people for me focused on this, but this has been the thing that I have bet by far the most during the pandemic, and you and I were just talking off air, I've noticed, and maybe you've gone back to this, so a half hour before the close of the market, we're talking 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern, you take that off. And I totally understand why, because, you know, you're getting close to the end. Many of us, I'm sure, I'll speak for myself, bet right up to that. The farther we get to the close, obviously, you know, the theory being the less volatility, obviously, that hasn't been as consistent as we'd like it to be. A couple weeks ago, as we were talking about, it was all over the place in the final half hour to an hour. Have you changed your thinking on that? I noticed some days last week, it was taken off the board a little earlier than that. Are there some days that are, I guess what I'm asking, where they're going a certain way for you, maybe favorably, maybe unfavorably, where you're like, we should probably take this down sooner today?
To be a completely open book, what happened, I know what you're referring to now, last week, we actually closed the market at one. And what happened is, I'm doing the stock market with another gentleman. We share that, and we also share the Madden Sims, which start at one, I guess they start at 12 o'clock Pacific. And I had an emergency last week, so I wasn't around. So he had to do both. So he was shutting the market down at 1 o'clock for a couple of days. In general, we want to keep it up to in the neighborhood of 12:30 to 12:35 Pacific. The last half hour, we kind of just kind of, you know, wash our hands. But we definitely want to keep it up till at least a half an hour before closing. Now, one thing we are doing, I don't know if you've noticed, or we might forget sometimes, but we want to drop the limits, cut the limits in half the last hour of trading, just because there's more information out there. And, you know, we're noticing a lot of our sharper gamblers are coming in a lot more late. And like I said, we really are unknowledgeable on this subject. We're kind of winging it. We understand trading concepts. We understand numbers. But that's about the limit. That's about as far as we go as far as this. And it's worked out. But we know we're vulnerable at times. So we do cut the limits the last hour of trading. So generally around 11:30 to 11:45 Pacific time, we'll cut the limits in half so that if maybe Trump says something, the market's liable to go down 400 points. Yeah, just in some of the idiocy says, oh, he might say something good and the market might rise 300 or 400 points. Might say everything's open back up.
I totally appreciate it, Ray, because as those of us are betting things like this, we are constantly wondering, huh, I wonder why they cut the limits there. Oh, they're cutting off at this hour. I mean, because these are questions that any real immersed bettor has on a daily basis, and it's rare that we get sort of an insight to some of these answers. So just again, I want to review for people because they may not have heard. You're operating at about 15.15% of your usual earn overall. You said the stock market on a daily basis does about as well as two Major League Baseball games, did you say? Did I get that right?
That's two Major League, but just the live trading of it, not the
just
pre-game
the live
trading of it. The live trading of a baseball game, right?
Okay.
So it's about the equivalent of two live baseball games.
That makes sense. And then as far as Madden and Sims, like, do they do as well as an NHL regular season game, for instance?
Yes. But that's partly because of the NFL has been by far our biggest volume Sims. You know, we do NBA Sims, we do NHL Sims, we do NBA Sims, and the NFL has written more volume than all the other ones combined. Believe it or not, the second most popular sim we have, we only run it once a week on Sunday nights currently, is UFC Sims. We're running a tournament, you know, like the old school UFC used to have the 8 men standing and one ends up the winner. We're running something like that every week with a different weight class, and we throw a couple women's fights in the middle of the round of those fights. And that the interest there has been insane. I'm writing three times as much in that as I'm writing on the stock market. And so that's been a lot of work because we have to run sim after sim on these fighters to make sure we're putting up a reasonable number, because they really don't fight like the real game. There's different advantages and disadvantages that there's just things that the computer does. Well, it seems the grapplers are stronger, in other words. So
We're just running sims to make sure we're putting up competitive fights, fights where both guys have a chance to win. Because one week we did put up three or four fights where it turned out one guy just didn't have a chance to win. And we didn't know it, and we got beat up pretty good there and went back to the drawing board, did some more homework. And now we're putting in tons of hours before we put these numbers up to make sure we're putting up matchups that are fairly competitive and priced at least reasonably well. You know, if people want to do some real work once we put the matchups up, they can probably still gain an edge. But yeah, that's what we're doing.
it's fascinating. I mean, yeah, it's a whole new world. And I'm sure you've been amazed by the level of interest, or maybe you haven't been, I don't know, by the level of people's, you know, of people's willingness to bet whatever. Table tennis has obviously gotten a lot of press. Has that been just off the charts for you as well?
I'm glad you talked about table tennis. Table tennis kept us alive. I mean, table tennis is still to this day our number one earner. I'm hoping Madden jumps it soon, but as of right now, table tennis is number one. However, I am terrified. When I say terrified, I mean terrified of the future of table tennis. This is a sport where it's a one-on-one competition where these guys do not make a lot of money. And now
the
markets are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the incentive for these guys to play with these matches are off the beyond big now, and we are seeing it already. We're definitely seeing fixed matches, and so we're trying to, when we see it, we just take it off the board, or if we suspect it, we're taking it off the board. But that's going to become a bigger and bigger problem going forward in table tennis, because the gambling markets have grown so much. They've literally grown 100%. You know, I say 100 times what they were before this pandemic, because it's the only live actual sport event going on, and it's a 20 minute game. It's a quick fix for the gamblers, so they're jumping on it. But there's definitely fixing going on. There's definitely a couple of guys that know about the fixing going on. So we're it's tough.
I hope people got that point. That is such a major point. That the incentive, because we always think about it for American sports, we're like, oh, those guys are millionaires anyway, there's no incentive. But something like table tennis, part of Ray's job has become, sadly for him, trying to figure out who could be fixing matches, which of these players might be fixing, who might not be, specifically who is, and then how many bettors are aware of this kind of thing, because the incentive is there. The bigger these particular sports like table tennis get. One more segment with Ray. Want to ask about macro issues and the notion of an instant replay market. I love that. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is so rare to get this opportunity to get the perspective of an odds maker at a big book, a legit one of the global leaders, if not one of two. I mean, it's a very short list of books here in this hemisphere where you can count on getting paid out. Bookmaker.eu, second to none. And Ray Marino is kind enough to join us here for the balance of this hour. Ray, we talked about table tennis. In some respects, I really buried the headline, right? Because that has ruled the day, has saved you, to use your word, here during this pandemic. And such a great point about now having to detect who's fixing and who's not. What is your daily table tennis handle comp to a regular, quote unquote, regular sport booked in a normal time?
I would say table tennis is writing, I would say, slightly more than a Major League Baseball day.
A day of table tennis
is writing more than a day of Major League Baseball. Now, keep in mind, we're talking hundreds of table tennis matches as opposed to 15 baseball games. But I think that's a good comparison. I think that's still incredible.
Yeah. A day of tennis, despite the fact there's 100 matches, better than a day of Major League Baseball.
And keep in mind, it's the only sport going. It's literally the only live sport going. Now you've got a German league just opened up soccer and whatnot, but and you got UFC fights on Wednesday and Saturdays now, which the handle on the UFC, the real UFC, has gone up like 4 to 5 times what the UFC would have normally been, you know, in a non-pandemic state.
That makes sense. What, by the way, where's your accent from? Is that New Orleans? Where is that?
That is New Orleans. That is New Orleans. Good call.
Yeah. Love the accent. Okay. Has there been a sport, a sim, an event, something that you've considered booking, Ray, where even your trade, your deep trading skills, despite that, where you were like, yeah, this we can't book. Like this, even this is too much.
Well, I'm a live trader as a whole. I do a little bit of the pregame stuff, but my job is running the American live sports in general when things are normal. I really wanted to run live baseball in these sims, but the way the game works, the play's too fast, and without having a model, you can't, like, we could put up numbers between innings. The problem with that is, in order to do that, we'd have to pause the game every half of inning, and that would annoy a ton of the customers. So as much as I want to deal at live, because it's such a good live trade in the real market, and it's an easy trade between innings, but it's not an easy trade 3-1 count men on first and third, one out, and then it goes, and then a double play, and then there's a double play, now you got to hurry up in the jar, wait, I was here, now where do I go? And by the time you figure out what the number is, they're throwing the first pitch for the next inning if we don't pause the game, and we really can't pause the game every half of an inning, because it would just annoy too many customers. It would make too many customers skeptical. Well, what are they doing now? They're pausing the game. They must be playing with something, you know? So there's so much skepticism out there now that you're doing everything in your power to make sure people realize this is more on the up and up than any sporting event you'll ever bet on, because it's 100%, not the 99.9% most sporting events are. But
talking to Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu, odds maker over there, who runs all the live betting. Let me ask you about instant replays during the NFL. This is my single favorite thing that you do, Ray. I hear you laughing.
Throws that number up every time. I came
you
up
are
with
the guy or you're not the guy?
I am the guy.
Oh, wow.
I came up with this concept about 4 years ago to give it a try, maybe four, maybe 5 years ago, I forget. And it was more for publicity to see how it went. And you should see the ticker fly when I throw this number up. Everybody knows the answer. I am lifetime loser dealing this prop. Very small, but I am lifetime loser still dealing it. You know, people definitely have advantages over me. They can TiVo. They've got 80-inch screens. I've got one guy that helps me. Looks at things. He's looking at the replay over and over again too. If he sees anything different, he lets me know, and I switch the numbers up. But it's just the fastest, funnest trade I've ever been a part of.
Yes, it is.
You just have to, and sometimes you might know it should go this way, but, you know, these referees think like this in this instance. And so it's all a guessing game. And, you know, I like the ones where it's incomplete or complete. Was it a catch or not? Those are the ones I think have the most variance, have the most play. Out of bounds or not, you can normally see that by fact. Okay, that was out. That was in. And it's tough to put the true facts out. But the was it a catch or not when they take a step and a half, two steps? Was it a catch and fumble? Was it an incompletion? Those, to me, are the best ones that get the most two-way action. And, as opposed to the facts, when something's almost 100%, I might not put it up. But but anything that's got a chance to go either way, I want to get up. And I literally write 100, 150 bets on that sometimes. And it's the one market where what we consider our sharp players, they literally do not have an advantage over the other players.
That's right.
It's amazing. But I wish, because, you know, we have computerized things that move numbers automatically based on who's betting something. And then we as traders have the power to move it back or move it farther or whatever. Well, I'm trying to get something built right now for the challenge prop so that every bet has the same weight. I want everybody to have the same weight, same input, and I don't care about my professional gamblers with this prop, because they're just banging like everybody else, and their opinion's no better than anybody else's on the challenge prop. So I'm working on that for this year. I think I can actually win on the prop if I weight everybody's bet the same, as opposed to weighting sharp guys bets heavier than your average recreational gambler.
Please don't ever stop putting that one up, because it is, for those of you who miss what we're talking about, it's when there is an instant replay situation during NFL games, and specifically the primetime games. I don't believe you do it for every one of them.
Just but
just the primetime games. It's an unbelievable test of speed and willingness, how can I put this, to put up multiple bets on the NFL's rule system, which is hardly a reliable thing. But in some cases, if you can get there quick enough, is a winning bet. And as Ray just said, for him, lifetime loser, not significantly so, but lifetime loser. Ray, we only have a few minutes here left, and you got to come back another time, because there's so many things I want to ask you. But just real quickly here at the end, because I want to drive this home. If you are talking to I won't call him a casual bettor, but someone who is a casual bettor who is thinking about doing this a little more seriously, and let's say it's just me and you talking here, Ray, and nobody else is listening, because I obviously you have interest in getting people to bet. But like, what's your total percentage of winning bettors, would you say, at your shop?
I would say somewhere between 1-2% are true winners.
Wow.
There's probably another 5-10% that are really close, you know, that are on the borderline. You know, those are guys that are doing a lot of things correct, using logic, but maybe are missing a thing here or there. And then I would say 85% are almost losing the big, you know, almost the full big. And there's a few that probably lose more than the big because they, you know, when I think what happens, a line looks crazy, when a perceived good team is say less a favorite than the market thinks they should be, you know, it's because smart gamblers have moved it to that number.
Yes.
And there's a reason it's, you know, everybody's got this notion, and you know, not that, you know, but, oh, Vegas knows this, Vegas knows that, which would be the same thing as saying, you know, bookmaker knows this or this. We don't know. We put up an opener. Vegas puts up an opener. It's the market, you know, the betting market molds the number. And that's one of the concepts that that I think gets left behind. And most, you know, they always think, oh, they're setting a trap here. Like, I love that word. They're setting a trap. You know, that's a trap line. It's not a trap line. The line got moved there because smart people think that's where the line should be. You know, and so people are betting against that. So what they're, in general, what they're doing, they're betting against the sharp side of a game indirectly. So they're even giving up more than the big in that spot, I think. If I was talking to somebody about gambling seriously, I think the two biggest things I'd get across to them is make sure you truly have a passion for this, because it's not a crystal ball. You're not going to look at the newspaper and say, oh, here's the winners. You have to have a true passion for this, and you have to be willing to work more hours than a normal job to be successful. And you have, and not only that, the work has to be logical, and it has to, you know, it has to be good work. Which, if you don't understand what that is, then you know this is going to be a tough racket to make it in as far as making a living. You should be thinking about gambling more in general as entertainment and something that you enjoy doing with a shot to win. But if you really want to do it professionally, you better have some real dedication and some real logic skills and some mathematical skills. That's the only shot you literally have, especially in today's market.
You said there were two things. Did you get both things in there?
I'm sorry?
I thought you said there were two things you would recommend. Maybe you got both things in there. Passion and math skills, I believe, were the two things, perhaps.
You have to have a passion, right? You have to have a passion. Yeah. You have to have a work ethic. You have to have a passion. You have to work hard. You have to work hard. This isn't an easy... Everybody thinks, oh, it's great. You're a professional gambler. That must be the greatest. And it is, yeah, from the aspect of you're doing what you want to do. But don't mistake that with it's not some of the toughest work and longest hours you'll ever deal with if you want to truly be successful at it.
Yeah. Ray, I can't thank you enough. I hope this was not so painful, and I hope that that it was enjoyable enough that you'll come back some other time in the future. I really enjoyed it.
I certainly will, and hopefully I get a better mic set up next time. I mean, I'm working from home, and this was a last-minute thing, and I'll make sure that we're set up, and it'll be a little cleaner audio next time, hopefully.
Really appreciate it. Ray Marino from bookmaker.eu. Pleasure.
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.